Welcome to the Bill Cartwright Show with our special guest, behavior therapist, USF alum, it's very important, Lindsay Halsey. And Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting what's going on right now, especially at our university and really in life, and especially in sports, is mental health. And I think that that's a big subject that's always not been broached, but it is now. So, but before that happens, let's talk about you a little bit. I want you to talk a little bit about where you grew up. I want you to talk a little bit about high school. And I want you to talk a little bit about where you went to school, college.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so I grew up mostly in Sacramento, California. My dad was in the Air Force, and so we did a little bit of moving around when I was a kid. We went to England, and then we came back to the States after a couple years and lived in Illinois, and then we lived in Nevada, and then finally we moved back to California, Sacramento. And like I said, that's where I did most of my growing up. In high school, I went to Sheldon High School, go Huskies, and had a wonderful time. Made some amazing friends that I'm still friends with today. And then I decided to go to college. And my college career was, I decided to take my time, basically. I decided I wanted to study psychology. I was really interested in like human behavior and our cognitive processes and how we move about the world and make sense of things. And after I got my bachelor's at Sac State, and I was a Ronald E. McNair scholar, just have to shout that out. very thankful to them for helping me and supporting me, kind of prepare me for postgraduate education. So then I went to USF and got my master's, and then I decided to go to the Wright Institute and get my doctorate, which is where I'm currently studying at. So it's been a long journey, but I'm very happy that I've gone on this journey. It's taken me a little while, but like I said, I wanted to take my time and get through it and go at it at my own pace. And I'm really happy that I did because I'm learning a lot. And I think it's really changed me in really wonderful ways.
Can you talk about some of the people who influenced you, influenced your thoughts, and kind of helped you along your journey?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I want to say, it's so hard to pinpoint. First and foremost, I want to say I had a really supportive family and friends. They were always there to encourage me to pursue what my interests were. And if I wanted to go and get a doctor, they're like, go ahead. I think that's really wonderful. So I was really fortunate, I think, to have that kind of support from everybody.
Well, let's talk about this, because I'm not even sure. What is mental health? What is that?
So mental health is our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors that we engage in based on our life experiences. And when people say good mental health versus bad mental health, I like to think that good mental health means that you are able to move through the world in a way that's healthy and productive and in alignment with your own personal belief systems. And when people say that they have maybe bad mental health or they struggle with mental health, it's when they have thoughts or feelings or behaviors that are causing them distress in their life and they're having a hard time managing that distress. So mental health is really a problem when it's really a problem when it interferes with your everyday life functioning. For instance, maybe you're feeling really upset because you've had a death in your family, and it's been a few months, but you're noticing that you're just not over it, and you're having a hard time getting up every day and going to work. And you notice that your work performance is suffering because of it. And maybe you had a conversation with your boss because you had some reports that were overdue or you're kind of behind on your assignments, or maybe you're feeling a little short-tempered with your coworkers. That's an example of when somebody is struggling with mental health.
How about if you're a kid? How about if you're a high school kid? And what's if there is a common problem that happens at school, because that's a pretty broad area, guys and gals. So what's some common problems that happen in for young people in high school?
Yeah, that is a very broad topic indeed, because we don't live in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
We're influenced by everything that goes around, like that happens around us, from the very close-knit relationships that we have with our friends and our family, with our school, our peers, to the greater societal level influences like politics or media, right? Social media, things we see in the news and on TV, on television, all of that influences how we think about ourselves, how we think about the world and other people. And it can influence how we feel as well. And with kids in high school, they're getting bombarded with everything, all of that. And they also have their own problems that they have to worry about too, right? They have, oh my gosh, like they have all these, they're growing up, you know, they're going through puberty. They have all these physiological changes that are happening within their bodies that they're trying to make sense of. And it's having an influence on how they feel. And so when you have a combination of those things, you can get a lot of different results. Kids might get depressed. They might get anxious. They might have low self-esteem. Maybe they take up drinking or smoking cigarettes or alcohol as a way to cope with these really hard to deal with and really big feelings. And I think that even though it's something that a lot of adolescents in high school struggle with, that it's not, you know, it's not uncommon. Because like I said, we're all human and we all try to live our best lives, but we can't help sometimes but to get caught up in what's going on with other people and how that kind of makes us feel. You know, I think we compare ourselves to people. I think we can't help it. And when we do that, sometimes we can get caught up in our own head, and it's hard for us to recenter ourselves and remind ourselves that we're doing just fine and we're, you know, we're fine the way we are.
Now, is high school, is it different than college, or is there more pressure in college? Because, you know, you got to go to school, you're maybe your parents are paying for school, you got to get good grades, and now the competition is even tougher.
Yeah, I think that that really depends. It really depends on the person and kind of what their situation is like. Because there can be certain events that happen in people's lives that kind of escalate mental health concerns. So the shift from going from high school to college, a big transition, that could be, you know, really impactful. For like a young adult, they go from like a town that they've probably already known, always known, friends they've always had around them, to college, where if it's out of town, if it's away from their family and friends, they have to kind of, you know, make it on their own a little bit. They have to make new friends and get used to a new place. And, you know, now you have the pressure of taking college classes, which are a step above high school classes. Unless you have experience with AP, taking AP classes. The shift from high school to college classes could be a big jump for people. And it could be a lot to deal with, and it could be really hard for a lot of college students, I think. But kind of in effect to the effect of what you said, you know, having these additional pressures put on them to achieve, to perform, if their parents are paying for school, yeah, that could all be stressors as well. And you know, like I said, that could be a lot for someone to try to manage on their own.
So what do you do now that, let's say you're out of school, just graduated, and then now you have to go to work, and just to be able to deal with a boss or a coworker that you don't like, that's putting you into stress. How do you deal with that? And how do you deal with other people who maybe you don't get along as well? That's causing you some distress.
Well, I think we have to kind of take a step back from that even and assume for a moment that this person who's newly out of college has probably been on social media and has maybe been a little bit more influenced by the destigmatization of mental health. For example, I really love TikTok. I know a lot of people hate TikTok or love TikTok, right? But on TikTok, I think there are some really lovely accounts and people who share their stories, their struggles, their triumphs, their failures in an effort to normalize the fact that we all go through stuff and nobody's perfect. We all have problems. But these are the things that I did, right? Me, the TikToker, to help overcome all of this. And they talk about what's called natural supports. These could be people in your life, your family and your friends who are really supportive and understanding of you, who can provide you with that emotional support that you find really useful and will help you when you're stumbling a little bit. You can have more professional supports. For instance, college campuses, they all have wellness centers, they all have therapists, and they encourage their students to seek out for this free treatment if they need it, because they understand that this is a big harrowing experience. It brings up a lot of big feelings, and they want to make sure their students are successful and healthy, mentally and physically, right? So let's assume that like this person who's fresh out of college is going to work, has to get along with coworkers and bosses that they maybe don't like. Let's assume that they've kind of had a little bit of exposure to the fact like this is kind of normal. I know that everyone's different. We're not all going to get along. And so what can I do to help help with that? And so again, they turn to their supports. There's a big movement right now. It's been a movement for quite some years. The self-care movement, right? Meditation, mindfulness, taking care of yourself, treating yourself. Everyone's big on that. And there's a reason for it. People recognize that it's important to take care of ourselves if we want to be a productive member in society, if we want to live the kind of life that we want to live, to be happy and healthy and fulfilled. And so hopefully this person, again, who's at work, will have learned a little bit about that as well. And they can take a step back, do something nice for themselves, and reassure themselves that, I can get through this. I'm having a hard time now, but I know I'm not alone. Other people are going through it. And what can I do to help the situation? But there's also a lot of trainings that happen at work in terms of how to get along with coworkers. Like, who can you turn to within your own agency if you're having a problem? So hopefully they've taken note of that and they've reached out to their supervisor, maybe not a supervisor that they're not getting along with, right? Or even HR, a neutral body that can intervene and help mediate the situation so everyone can have a productive work life. So I think that there's a lot of things that people can do, but it really comes down to, if they've been exposed to it, if they believe these systems can work, if they have confidence in themselves that they can enact a plan and see it through, and that'll work and be successful for them. So personal resiliency and resourcefulness, I think, is another really important factor to mitigating these difficult life circumstances, or in the case of what we were talking about, this difficult like work circumstance.
Are people pretty comfortable with, like, let's say, for example, you're a gal and I'm looking and I need some help. Are women and guys more confident to be able to come? Like, if I'm a male, I'm going to go to a male. Or if I'm a female, I'm going to go to a female. Is that a norm, you think?
I wonder about that too, actually, because so I know I'm a therapist, but I'm also in therapy, and I prefer to have a therapist who is also a Black woman. I felt that she could relate to me in a lot of ways that other people couldn't. The sorts of struggles that we deal with in everyday American society as being Black women, how we've been exposed to cultural stress and institutionalized sexism and racism. I just felt like she would get it, right? But I do believe that if a therapist is culturally sensitive enough and they practice the appropriate amount of humility and acknowledge the differences that exist between them and their therapist in session, or them and their client in session, and make efforts to address any issues that might come up because of those differences, and address the issues of their clients' identities throughout their time together, then I think that it will evoke positive therapeutic outcomes. But and this is just my opinion, but I do think it might be like sometimes if people do have a choice, they might prefer to spend time with people who are more like them. But that's like, I think, my opinion.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. You and I do have something in common, and this is because you're tall and I'm 7 foot tall. So there's a certain expectation, like everybody expected me when they see me, they're like, hey, you got to play basketball. You can't possibly do anything else.
I know.
So
Can't do
it's
anything else. You're right.
yeah, so that's always been kind of there. And what was that like for you to grow up to have people have those expectations for you?
You have good days and you have bad days, right? You have days where you don't mind, you'll answer all their questions. Oh, do you play basketball? You play volleyball? Oh, where'd you go to school? Oh, are you a model? Oh, all these things. You answer all their questions, that's fine. And then some days you're just like, I really don't, this is, personal information about me, just coming up here asking all of this, expecting an answer. Like, I have to tell you, I don't want to tell you this. So, sometimes you feel kind of like, people are putting you in a box. They're assuming you look one way, you must do these certain things because of the way you look. And, sometimes I feel, especially as like a teenager, right? You're already dealing with a bunch of stuff internally. You're worrying about navigating like, the world and all this stuff. You're finding out who you are. And then when you kind of don't fit into a box that people have already kind of decided that you belong in, you kind of feel like a little guilty. You're like, well, wait, why don't I fit in this box? Why don't I like to play basketball? Why do I just want to like read and like draw and like, go like, swimming in the river? I don't know, I just do. And, it can suck because, like I said, we don't live in a vacuum. We're influenced by other people. And you have to really work towards being okay that you don't fit into other people's boxes because you have your own box you want to make for yourself. And that's fine. So, but it takes work. Yeah, it just takes work. It's ongoing.
Exactly. As I know, there's not a lot of people that have the same interests I do. So it is kind of a bit of a task to find somebody who wants to come along with me. I am curious about, because there's so many segments, elements of mental health. What's your specialty? What do you do better than anybody else? And what do you want to teach?
Well, I really love working with teenagers. And I think it's for all the reasons that I already talked about. Everything that's going on with teenagers when they're in middle school, high school, like early in college, everything that revolves around their identity and being true to who they are, and managing how to deal with the stress when they don't fit into other people's boxes. That whole idea is what really sparked my interest in getting into psychology in the first place, because I remember what it's like when I was a teenager and how often it sucked because you were trying to figure out who you were and you weren't sure. And it was really hard. And I think that I can come into a session with a teenager from my perspective, and I feel like I can relate really well to what they're going through, and they can see that. And I think I have a way of connecting with teenagers that is pretty unique. I feel like I do a really good job of building rapport with them really quickly and talking to them in a way that they really like resonate with. Because I try to be as genuine as possible. I try not to be super stuffy. And like I'm an adult, like this is what's happening, listening to me. And I think they really appreciate that. Something else that clinicians try very, very hard to do is make the therapy process a collaborative one. So we're not going to come over here and tell you what's going on with you. We're going to give you our impressions, and we're going to ask you, does this make sense? Do you agree with this? What do you think? We can give you our recommendations for what we think might be best in terms of treatment, but we're also going to say, but is that what you want? And I think kids who are most often not in a position of power, right? Their parents or caregivers are always telling them what to do. Their teachers are always telling them what to do. They have all these rules they have to follow. And but when a clinician can come in and be like, but is this kind of what you want to do? We give them their sense of agency back and we empower them to take control. And I feel like that is really important for teenagers because so many elements of their life they don't have control. And I think that really helps with improving their mental health when they come in to see a therapist.
So when I see you in the next 5 years, are you going to be working with a group or an organization, or are you going to have your own private practice?
I definitely want to work for an agency. I don't think I can handle the headache of running my own business. Maybe not now. All the paperwork and the billing, everything. No, I don't want to do that. I just want to talk to people. That's all I want to do. I want to hang out and I want to help themselves live their best lives. That's what I want to do.
Awesome. Awesome. You do have a young little rascal at home. A little bit about that. Talk about your family.
Yeah.
Now
I have a little son.
we'll have a certain amount of time.
Okay. I know. I can go on and on. So I have a little son named Idris. He just turned two.
Oh, where'd you get that name? Where's that come from?
So Idris actually, so we looked it up, like we're like, what does this mean? So it means like I think it's like a Hebrew name, I think that means seeker of knowledge. And but we stumbled upon it because we were like, thinking of what do we want, what's a good baby name, And we were just thinking of a bunch of stuff when we were thinking of like celebrities and things and ooh, do we like any celebrity names? So then we're like, wait, what about Idris Elba? We love Idris Elba. Do we like his name? Like we do. That's such a cool name. And so we put it on the list, right? And so when it came down to choosing, we decided on that one. Not because it was not named after Idris Elba, but Idris Elba was the inspiration because we really liked the name. And so that's how we came up with it. And then we were also really happy that it had a really nice meaning too. But yeah, so that's Idris, and he's great. He's full of energy and he never sits still. And he's just figuring stuff out in his own little baby way. And it's so awesome to see him try to like explore his world. He's just learning. He's so good at identifying his numbers and shapes and letters now. And it seemed to have happened overnight. And we're like, my gosh. He's growing up so fast, and we can't believe it. It's already been 2 years, but he's great.
Awesome. Well, Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for being on. You were terrific,
Oh,
and
thank you.
we're gonna have to have you on again because, as you know, I do a lot of work for USF, so I need some really great thoughts not only for our students, but for our student athletes as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I would love to be on again. That sounds amazing. Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
Awesome.